to participate in. And I would hope that every one of us would treat it with the respect and the dignity and the sense of responsibility that that I think comes with this particular appointment. There will be no partisanship in Ways and Means. The co-chairs, we've chatted with our vice chair about this, and there is no room for that in this committee. We can have honest differences of opinion on policy, and I think that's fine. If you want to enjoy the bombshells bursting in air, that belongs upstairs, not down here. We have a good reputation. I was very pleased with, frankly, the process we had last session. I enjoyed building relationships with many of you that are sitting here today, and look forward to building on those and building new relationships. Having said that, this is going to be a tough job this session. Our job this session is going to be to cut budgets. If you're not prepared to do that, I guess the co-chair and I would like to know that. And there's a door over there. That's where you can go. And we'll get someone in here that can do that. Now, I don't say that cavalierly, because we have a Herculean task ahead of us. And our members upstairs will have to look at our prioritized list of services and decide if that meets their expectations or not, and where they want to go from there. But it's our job to provide them with the best information we can get. And then that becomes a decision that the Senate and the House as a whole will have to decide where they want to go. We will probably be using the governor's budget as a reference point, and say starting point, but as a reference point. So I'd urge all the members to be very familiar with what's in that, what's going on. I appreciate his staff's hard work in a relatively short period of time. A lot of members here are a lot more senior than I, but I think, as many of you know, usually our staff has about 2 months time to work on the governor's budget. They've had 5 days, I believe. So the analysis will be shortly coming forward. We may be doing it as we go, so we don't get held up, because we are going to be starting soon. I'll have Mr. Rocco speak to our schedule for next week and then the week after that. As my fellow co-chair said, we're going to rely very heavily on the subcommittee. This is not going to be a co-chair-driven budget per se. This is going to be coming from the subcommittees. You will be doing the work. You will be doing the work. You'll be hearing the testimony from the agencies and from the public. We hope to have you establish priorities. To the extent there are priorities that the subcommittees see that are not in the governor's budget or currently on the table, we would hope you keep a list of those. And to the extent that the subcommittees are successful in finding efficiencies and saving a little money, I think it's the co-chairs and vice-chairs' wishes to empower you by giving you an opportunity to add things back in the respective budgets that you feel are important. That may be problematical given the task before us, but if we do our work right, I would hope there'd be some opportunity that way. If a committee seems to get, if a committee seems to be getting bogged down for whatever reason, I don't want either the committee members or the committee chairs to take it personally, but the co-chairs will be moving this process forward. We have an accelerated schedule compared to past sessions, and we will likely be taking a particular agency or budget from your committee and putting another committee that maybe is a little ahead of schedule. So I'd urge the committees and the chairs to work effectively and cooperatively. At the risk of pointing out the obvious, the Senate is 15-15 split. We're having a heck of a good time.
Sorry I left.
Contrary to expectations, be organized in a couple of days. I would caution my fellow House members that the visage of the 1997 session, when there were 20 Republican senators and only 10 Democrats, not cause problems in the deliberations, particularly down in this chamber. We're going to need to work together. Get anything out, we'll need to work together. I expect the budgets hopefully will be worked to the point where we'll have virtually no controversy. These budgets will be like last session and hopefully sessions past where they come out with near unanimous support. We're going to be doing things a little differently. A letter is being sent to all the different agencies. We'll probably give you a copy of that letter when it's finalized, probably Monday of next week. It outlines our expectations. We're not going to have a lot of dog and pony show. We can't afford that. We don't have the time. So we'll be getting into the meat of the budgets very quickly. New members, members that haven't been around the building for a while, welcome to the LFO analysis book. We would expect you to have read it and digested that agency's analysis as well as the governor's balanced budget before you walk in the door. My fellow co-chair has read it several times already. The most noteworthy thing I guess I would like to emphasize to my subcommittee chair people and members of the Ways and Means full committee is that for the first time in Oregon's history, we're not just going to be balancing a budget for this biennium. We will be setting the stage with performance outcomes for balanced budgets in the future. Accountable budgets that drive to particular outcomes where we can see where the money's going, what it buys us, and what outcomes it buys us over time. A template, hopefully, for a very efficient, very thoughtful government. And that, to me, is pretty exciting. That was a big agenda item by Ways and Means last session and a number of policy committees, actually, upstairs. Last but not least, co-chairs and vice chair will be working on a revenue goal. There's been some discussions, I believe, with the governor's office already about my colleague's favorite word, the size of the pie. And I think some of the revenue projections, even the middle of the road one that the GBB balances to, might be somewhat optimistic. And this group will have to come to grips with that. So I'm looking forward to a good process. Again, I think the people here are great. We have the greatest staff in the world. There's been a high degree of cooperation between our staff, I think, and in a very positive way, I think, the band staff also. So I'm looking forward to it. Please consider them a resource, a great resource. Everyone of this committee should have full access there. I would hope that members of the respective chambers would look at you as resources for them to access our staff. We don't want our staff getting too bogged down with too many requests, but you will all become the experts in your respective program areas. And with that, I guess I'll turn it over with the co-chairs and
mine. See if the vice chair, would you like to give us some opening comments?
Yeah.
You want to use mine?
Fire them up and get going here.
That's it.
I wouldn't mind going through a brief introduction of each of the members of this committee, just to acquaint yourself with everyone else, like describing your past experiences either here or elsewhere in your districts and interests. And so, Representative Smith, would you start and we'll work our way around?
Sure. Thank you, Co-Chair Miller. I'm Representative Greg Smith from District 57. Representing Union, Wallowa, Moro, and the land mass of Umatilla counties. Last session, I had the pleasure of serving with you, Co-Chair Miller, and Chair Butler on Ways and Means Economic Development and Transportation and Public Safety. Professionally, my background is financial analysis and commercial lending with a little bit of economic development mixed in. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm Representative Tootie Smith from Wallowa. House District 18 takes in Marion and Clackamas counties. I served on Ways and Means Education last session. This session, my subcommittees are Ways and Means Education and Human Resources, which will be two huge challenges that I look forward to. I have a varied background in public service and business ownership and look forward to the challenge. Thank you.
Wayne Krieger, state rep from District 1, which is the South Coast, about 80% of Coos County, all of Curry, and a little bit of Western Douglas after redistricting. I'm spread out a little bit. served on a natural resource ways and means last year. I think that will be a great help coming here now. Also in judiciary and ag and timber. I spent about 28 years with the state police and was in business for about 10 years in forestry issues after I left and served about 7 years on the Board of Forestry. And I think it brings to me some things that I needed to be here to help me qualify to be here and do the job, and look forward to working with these people.
Al Bates, I'm a family physician from Southern Oregon. My district is Ashland, Phoenix Talent, and Jacksonville. I spent 10 years prior to being elected on a school board and 10 years at the same time working inside the Oregon Health Plan as chair of the Health Services Commission. Last session I was on the Subcommittee for Health and Human Resources and on the Commerce Committee with dear and departed Bill Witt. We had some long nights, and so I'm used to working late and working hard. I'm looking forward to doing it again. Thank you.
I'm Betsy Johnson. I represent House District 31 that goes along the Columbia River from the mouth at Astoria to the confluence at the tip of Savage Island. I served on full Ways and Means last session on the Economic Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee and the General Government Subcommittee, as well as being Vice Chair of Commerce. I spent 20 years in the commercial helicopter business, both as management and as a line pilot. I ran the Department of Aviation for the state of Oregon for 5 years, spent one session lobbying on aviation issues, and have served previously as a port commissioner for the Port of St. Helens.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I'm Susan Morgan. I represent District 2, which is the central part of Douglas County and part of Josephine and Jackson counties. My professional background is in the timber industry down in that area. In the last session of the legislature, I had the honor of chairing the Ways and Means Sub and served with some of the members of this committee on that sub. Served on full Ways and Means in the last session, served on the e-board in the interim, and was one of several of the people sitting here that camped out here fairly consistently over the interim working on the rebalance issues, and it's my honor and my privilege to chair the education sub this time.
Gary Hansen, State Representative from House District 44. Listening to the distinguished resumes of the people who have already spoke, I feel I fit here. I've had trouble holding a job, too. My district is the North Portland Peninsula. The bulk of the transportation infrastructure of the city of Portland in terms of I-5, most of the port properties, a lot of railroad yards, as well as the residential areas that I represent in north and a little bit of northeast Portland. My background, I was served in local government as a metro councilor for 8 years and a Multnomah County commissioner for 8 years. And then in the legislature, I've had the good fortune to serve on four Ways and Means subs: general government, natural resources, public safety, and now transportation. So hopefully we can, in spite of my spotty record, I'll be able to bring a little something.
We're going to wait for Representative Patrick.
He's out of the state.
Oh, that's right.
Should we say some remarks about
him? Say some things about him. I'm Tom Butler from Ontario, Oregon. I'm a certified public accountant by profession. Served 6 years as a county commissioner for the other M County. And it was Mount here as opposed to Multnomah, much larger county. I come from rural, the most rural district in the state of Oregon, House District 60, which is the southeast corner of the state of Oregon. Served in the 1999 session as chair of the general government, served on transportation and economic development, and then flip-flopped in the 2001-2003 session, serving transportation and economic development as chair and serving on the general government with Senator Clarno as chair. My best claim to fame is that I like tax season. I do my best work when I'm ridden hard and put away rest.
Representative, one thing I would observe before we shift over to the Senate is that this is a terrific, experienced group over here, and I'm the only freshman from the house. So there you go.
I'm Joan Dukes. I represent Senate District 16. I guess we start in Tillamook County and then go up to Clatsop and include Columbia County and rural Western Washington County, and a little piece of Multnomah County. Prior to my stint in the legislature, I was a county commissioner in Clatsop County. I pretty much divided my time here between revenue and ways and means, starting service in ways and means in 1993.
I'm Jackie Winters, and I represent Senate District 10, which includes South and West Salem, Monmouth, Independence, and Almsville, and Turner. And I served 99 and 01 on e-board. I served Ways and Means last session, and I've been on both I'm still on Human Services. I chaired that subcommittee last session, and will be chairing it again. And I served on Education, Ways and Means. My other background is owner of Jackie's Ribs, which was just sold recently. So those of you who've been looking for ribs in town, you can't get them anymore. and I was the assistant to Governor Vic Atiyah, the Oregon State Ombudsman. I had a stint in the Children's Services Division. I was here when we created the Department of Human Services. So I have a chronological background in the field of human services, and sometimes I feel chronologically advantaged.
Good morning. I'm Abel Gordley. I represent Senate District 23, which includes wonderful neighborhoods in northeast and southeast Portland. By way of professional background, I have worked for the state as an adult and parole and probation officer, corrections counselor, also as a youth service program director for the Urban League of Portland and Portland House of Emoja. I have served on Ways and Means subcommittees several times in my House and Senate career, three times on Ways and Means Education Subcommittee and twice on Ways and Means Public Safety Committee. I have a particular interest and concern for accountability for spending in education and also in the delivery of our mental health services in the state. Aside from that, I think Representative Johnson and I will give you an array of fashion displays over a period of time. We both love scarves.
Thank you. I'm Ken Messerly, represent Senate District 5, which goes from the other 20% of Coos County, Western Douglas County, Western Lane County, all of Lincoln County, part of Polk County, part of Yamhill County, and a little bit of Tillamook County. My background, I spent 34 years in a family cattle and timber business in Coos, South Coast. I've served on Coquille School Board, the Port of Bandon for over 10 years on either. I've served also on State Soil and Water Commission and the Oregon Beef Council and other state advisory committees. In the legislature, my first term in 1997, I served on the Natural Resource Subcommittee. In 99, I served on the full committee, as well as on the Natural Resource Sub and General Government Sub, and also that year chaired the Oregon Salmon Committee. I'm the chair of the Natural Resource Sub. I'm very much looking forward to that. I think we've got a lot of work to do. I'm very interested in looking hard at the process of how our regulatory departments administer services, and that they are part of the solution as opposed to part of the problem as we move our economy forward. So thank you.
I'm Senator Devlin. I'm from Senate District 19. I'm going to try to make the geography of my district as extensive as my colleague here to the left, although it's a little difficult. I represent Lake Oswego, Westland, Tualatin, two small communities of Durham and River Grove, a small portion of the city of Portland, and the community of Dunthorpe in the metropolitan area. I like to think of my district as the center of the metropolitan area. And actually, the co-chair on the House side is my representative. And we've had a long working relationship together. and I want to really continue that in this next session and in the future. And I just wanted to comment on two items. One, I've worked both in the public and private sector, but I think in particularly in this committee, my experience in the legislature prior to this will be beneficial. And on one of the committees I'm on, public safety, my experience with adult and juvenile offenders, I think, will be important. And the last comment I wanted to make is that Senator Meserly and I came into the legislature at the same time, exactly the same time. This is the first time we have ever served on a committee together.
I'm Frank Morse from District 8, which is portions of Linn and Benton counties, the communities of Philomath, Corvallis, Adair Village, Albany, Tangent, and Millersburg. Probably the most compact, concise district in the redistricting of our state. My background is in the private sector. I come to this body as the freshman of all freshmen, with no legislative experience. My background has been in the construction materials industry as the CEO of Morse Brothers, a company that has served Western Oregon, principally the Willamette Valley region of our state. I currently chair the board of a company that I started when I retired from Morse Brothers called Environmental. It's a foundry that manufactures a birdshot licensed to Remington. And in the not-for-profit sector, I chair the Samaritan Health Services. This has kind of got a ring, doesn't it? The Samaritan Health Services Board of Directors, which is a five-member... Thank you. Hospital.
Slightly technical, Frankie.
It's part of the harassment of freshman program.
It's a Samaritan Health Services is an integrated physician hospital organization with hospitals in Lebanon, Albany, Corvallis, Lincoln City, and Newport. And I know as a freshman, the freshman of all freshmen, that Mr. Co-Chairs and members of the committee, I'm going to have to run just a little harder and a little faster, but hopefully we'll get caught up, and I look forward to serving. Thank you.
Well, again, we welcome all of the members to this committee, and I think by virtue of how you've all described your experiences of life in and out of this legislative arena, that's why we have every confidence that we're going to develop a product that has the respect of Oregonians. With that, Teresa McHugh, if you would like to come up and introduce your staff. And
thank you. For the record, I'm Teresa McHugh from the Budget and Management Division, and I'm going to hope that they will stand up as I call their names back there since I can't make eye contact. But I appreciate the opportunity to put faces and names together of the people from the governor's staff on budget that you'll be working with during the session. I know for some of you, you didn't have an opportunity to forget who we were on this interim, but for those who are new, I appreciate this opportunity. I know you have in your books handouts that by agency have the name of the analyst, and I will also leave those that have the analyst with their assignments underneath as well. We're also on the website for DAS under Oregon.gov with all of the folks' phone numbers and names, and please feel free to give us a call at any time if we can help. With that, I will start with Linda Ames. She would stand. And Linda is in charge of the education program area, but where you'll see her most is around the K-12 area, as well as the State Commission on Children and Families. Lori Byerly is the transportation program area coordinator, and she carries the Department of Transportation, as well as some natural resource agencies, forestry, Department of Agriculture, Marine Board. And she also carries Oregon Government Standards and Practices Commission and the Racing Commission. Linda Gilbert is Public Safety Program Area Coordination. And you'll see Linda on Department of Corrections, the Youth Authority, Parole and Post-Prison Supervision, DAs and deputies in those agencies. Bill McGee has a piece of that. You'll see him around the State Police. and Military Department, the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training, but you'll also see him sharing some time in the Education Committee with the university system and the community colleges. George Naughton, Human Services Program Area Coordination, and George will be basically spending all of his time in the Human Services Committee, having several of those agencies in that area. Pam Teschner will also be in that committee, carrying the other pieces of that. Okay. Cora Parker, we'll see her in Economic Development and Community Development area. She also carries a lot of the administrative agencies, like Department of Administrative Services, PERS, lottery funds distribution, and some of the pass-throughs that occur, Oregon Health Sciences University, et cetera. So you'll see her in a variety of places. Jeremy Patton is one of, if you recall, we have the assistant analysts who come in every 2 years and carry a lot of the licensing boards and have an opportunity to work with you on a lot of those agencies. Jeremy is the analyst for those agencies, as well as Jeremy from the side of just making sure the legislative budgets get into the system appropriately. As you know, we all use one budget system. Jeremy's the one who does that on our side. Adam Torgerson carries the other piece of that, and so again, you'll see him with licensing boards, as well as Adam worked with us on aid to local government. Lisa Pearson, Natural Resources Program Area Coordination. So you'll see Lisa spending most of her time in that committee with DEQ, Fish and Wildlife, DLCD, Division of State Lands, Parks and Rec, the list goes on. Satish Upadhyay is a Consumer and Business Services Program Area Coordination, carries Department of Consumer and Business Services, Housing, OLCC, the PUC, and a lot of the other smaller agencies that fall into that area. Is Lyndon here? Lyndon Troseth is probably not here today, but he does carry the Treasurer's Office, and again, as a separate elected official, he won't be making recommendations, but is the person that has made sure those numbers are in the system correctly, and if you have questions, you can ask there. Then Kelly Friels. Kelly is the manager of the budget and policy area. He carries Office of the Governor and Judicial Department, Department of Justice. And again, all around, if you have a question and can't find an analyst, Kelly is the person to contact. Darren Hill is the Deputy Director of the Budget and Management Division. And Darren, in addition to making sure budget and management's running appropriately, is the person that you would look to for statewide issues such as growth appropriation limits, the coordination in terms of lottery funds and the legal restrictions, all those kinds of things that fall into that category of making sure overall the state is balanced and meets all legal requirements. Okay. Now this will be the hard part. Did I miss anybody? Okay, good. In addition, I'd like to you know, we have Greg Jeffrey and Mark Medina, who are also part of our capital investment section. As you know, those who actually represented Butler and those on the General Government Committee will get to have all this detail. But we also have the capital investment section is part of budget and management, working on the certificates of participation, lottery bonds, all of those kinds of debt instruments. Greg Jeffrey is the manager of that unit. Lyndon Troseth works in there, as well as Mark Medina. And that's kind of in a snapshot, the Budget and Management Division.
Thank you.
And, of course, you have my number as well, and if you have any questions overall, please feel free at any time to get a hold of me. And I'll find the right person who can actually answer the question.
All right. Well, we appreciate that.
Great. Thank you.
Nice to see the staff. Mr. Rocco?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to also introduce our staff to the committee. I'm not going to give you my number, however.
That's good.
You can call Teresa. as Teresa did, I'm... I'd like to start with our committee assistant staff that's brought on for session. We have... Ryan Whalen, who is our scheduler for all subcommittees. He picked out the schedules, and he will also be serving receptionist duties at our front window. So he's doing double duty this time, and he was with us last session for a period of time.
Karen Segrist is going to be the committee assistant for general government and natural resources. We have Chris Chester, who's going to be assisting in transportation, economic development, sub, and public safety. And Dolores Wisbrock, who's going to do education and human services. We also, our permanent support staff includes Gina Rumbaugh, who's the office manager and takes care of microphone malfunction. And back in the corner is Joan Diaz, who's working, taking minutes of the meeting or tape log for you, and also works with the fiscal impact process. So she coordinates the bill, the flow of bills into the office and out of there. For analysts, Sheila Baker is our scheduler for the Human Services Subcommittee, and she has budget responsibilities for the State Commission on Children and Families. Portions, some of the human service components, the department-wide support services, the children, adult, and family services, and community human services, and she also does the Oregon Youth Authority. Steve Bender is going to be scheduling the education subcommittee. His primary responsibility is higher education. He does the Department of Higher Ed, community colleges, and keeps an eye on OHSU, and also does the advocacy commission. John Britton is primarily Department of Human Services. He's doing the health services, the health plan, and seniors program, as well as the insurance pool governing board. Monica Brown does dual duties. She has budget assignments of the Employment Relations Board, the Council on Court Procedures, and the Commission on Judicial Fitness and Disability. And she also will be doing fiscal impacts on bills affecting the judicial branch, human services, and transportation. Judy James also has both budget responsibility and fiscal impact. She has the Board of Medical Examiners, the Board of Nursing, and the Board of Investigators, and does fiscal impacts for administration, natural resources, and public safety. Cindy Jones is a rotation analyst. As you know, we have people, two people come from agencies to help us out during sessions. Cindy Jones is from Department of Consumer and Business Services, and she's going to be responsible for a portion of the Department of Human Services, voc rehab programs, and public health. She also will be doing the Public Utility Commission and health-related licensing boards, among other things. Susie Jordan has a combination of natural resource agencies like the Department of Forestry, the Marine Board, and Parks and Recreation, and also takes care of the Department of Transportation and the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. Robin Lamont is going to be scheduling the Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee, and has budget responsibilities for the Lottery, Judicial Department, Bureau of Labor and Industries, Department of Consumer and Business Services, and various other agencies. Sue McGlashan is scheduling the Natural Resource Subcommittee. She has a couple of the natural resource agencies like the Land Use Board of Appeals, Department of Land Conservation and Development, Division of State Lands, but her primary responsibility is the Department of Education, so she will be working with State School Fund and other issues like that. Kathy Miller, I don't believe is here. She's in a meeting at an agency, but she is also a rotation analyst from the Public Utility Commission, and she will be doing the Department of Aviation, pieces of the Department of Consumer and Business Services, and a member of the Health Licensing Office Board, as well as the Board of Parole and the Post-Prison Supervision. Rick Olson. Rick has just a wide variety of agencies. I don't know how this ever happened, but Rick is probably going to be in every one of your committees, I believe. His primary responsibility is Department of Housing and Community Services, but he also does Secretary of State, Employment Department, a number of the licensing boards, Disabilities Commission, Commission for the Blind. So he's a very versatile guy. Adrian Sexton is has budget assignments of Capital Planning Commission, Government Standards and Practices Commission, and Construction Contractors Board. She's also doing fiscal impacts for Consumer Services, Education, the Legislative Branch, and is also the fiscal impact supervisor. So she is assigning bills to the other fiscal impact people and monitoring that whole process. Paul Siebert has the bulk of the Oregon plan type natural resource agencies, Department of Ag, Department of Environmental Quality, Fish and Wildlife, Geology and Mineral Industries, the Watershed Enhancement Board, and also does the Racing Commission. Dallas Lyon is scheduling the General Government Subcommittee and has administrative agencies, primarily the Department of Administrative Services, Office of the Governor, the Public Employees Retirement System, Department of Revenue, and the Treasurer. Doug Wilson will be scheduling the Public Safety Subcommittee. And Doug is doing Department of Corrections and State Police primarily, along with a couple other, and the Department of Justice, of course. How could we forget? And finally, we have Larry Neiswender, who's the Deputy Fiscal Officer, and he'll be doing the Legislative Branch, along with Capital Construction, Capital Financing Bill, and other kinds of things like that. I think I got everything.
Thank you, Ken. Now you and, unless there are any questions, you and Mr. Neiswender are going to give us the 101 presentation?
Yes, Mr. Chair. We were going to give you a very brief, since you're all very experienced, we're going to give you a very brief overview.
Thank you all for coming.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Find us money.
You hang on.
Yeah.
We're going to need that halfway through this session.
Hard. Continue.
We want to give you a brief 101, budget 101, just to give you some terminology. And Larry's going to go over the budget development process, just as an educational view on how budgets are developed. I'd like to point out the schedule for next week. What we're intending on doing is meeting every day next week from 9 to 11. Monday we'll just give you a briefing on the 0103 budget situation. We'll provide you copies of the presentation guidelines that are being sent out to agencies for ways and means processes. We're going to have Paul Warner come in and give you a brief economic situation review, and I believe Tom Petowski from the Office of Economic Analysis will also be here to talk about revenue forecasting. And then the rest of the week, we're going to give you overviews conducted primarily by budget management staff on by program area of what the governor's balanced budget assumes. And on Tuesday will be education. Wednesday would be human services. Thursday, public safety and judicial. And then Friday would be natural resources and all other combined. That's the intention of the schedule for next week. The following week, we're anticipating subcommittees would start the following week. We're working on schedules now for subcommittees. And as Senator Schrader mentioned, there's a compressed schedule. We're anticipating, we're planning to have all presentations done by the middle of April. So it's a very aggressive schedule, and we're intending to try to keep to that schedule as much as possible. We provide you a sheet of the, on the top it says Oregon Budget 101, and this is really just to give you some terminology, and you can read it at your leisure. We're not going to go over all of this. I wanted to point out the third section has the bulk of the language that you'll be using in Ways and Means subcommittees, talking about appropriations, what an appropriation is, what a limitation is. Basically, you are appropriating general fund to agencies. Most agencies have other funds or federal fund sources of revenue, and the expenditure limitation, all it does is it caps the amount of money that they're authorized to spend. Because most of these other funds and federal funds are continuously appropriated to the agency by law. So what the expenditure limitation does is just set a cap on that. Lottery monies are continuously appropriated to the Department of Administrative Services Economic Development Fund. But the legislature then allocates those monies to agencies and to programs to fund approved activities. The emergency board also gets into this process by allocating money in the interim, but the only money they can allocate are the monies appropriated to them by the assembly. We'll have a test on this next week. The emergency board has a very restricted set of powers. It can establish or increase limitations. It can allocate money from the emergency fund. It can transfer monies from within an agency. And those are the authorities. It's a very limited set of authorities that the emergency board has. The other thing that you're going to hear a lot about is the allotment authority, and I think you heard this during the special sessions where there were, the governor took actions to use the allotment authority to stop agencies from spending money. The emergency board very often is asking the Department of Administrative Services to unschedule funds, and when you're unscheduling, you're just taking the ability to spend those funds away from an agency. Now, down at the bottom of that first, on the first page, side of that sheet, lists the various fund sources. We typically use four fund sources in the budget lingo: general fund, lottery funds, other funds, and federal funds. General fund is available for any discretionary type use. Lottery funds are dedicated to economic development and education, except for certain pots that are for specifically set aside for parks and for natural resources and for the education stability. Other funds are generally revenues that agencies receive from fees or licenses, registrations, things like that. And some of those funds are fungible, and you'll hear about fungible other funds when you get into budget work and subcommittee. Federal funds are also generally dedicated to a specific use, but again, some can be used to backfill for general fund activities and freeing up that general fund for other things. And again, we will point those out to you. On the back side, we have a listing of expenditure categories, and these are the components of agency budgets that you will see time and again in subcommittee. And the major components are personal services, services and supplies, capital outlay, special payments, capital improvement, major construction acquisition, which is also called capital construction, and then debt service. And so in each of the budgets you see, you will have detail on each one of these categories. And I think if there's no questions about that, we can just give you, Larry is prepared to give you just a brief budget development process that agencies go through so that you know what's happened and where we are in that process right now.
Good morning. Committee members, what I wanted to give you a little background on today is the budget development process, because concurrent with all the special session activities that have gone on this last interim, starting back in February right up through September, there was a budget development process that executive agencies were required to participate in. And as they come before you in your subcommittees, we thought it would be helpful for you to know what they went through to get before you and where they are now and what they're doing now to prepare for the subcommittees. This process for budget development kicks off for agencies in March kicked off in March of 2002, some 9 months ago. They had a kickoff meeting and were directed, given general directions on budget development processes and asked to designate the budget structures that they were going to use to develop their budget and their presentation to you. So they've been doing that since March. In April, they turned that information into the Department of Administrative Services, who approved it. So when you see budget structures coming before you in the budget and how it's broken out, those things have been in process, and the budget's been developed for some 8-9 months in that direction. That's not to say that the appropriation process can't change that, but that's the process that they've chosen to use to present it to you. And when you see appropriation bills, those will oftentimes be defined similarly to the budget structures that will be before you. Again, the legislature can change that, but that's what their initial starting place is. And this is part of the executive privilege that they have. In April, agencies were required to submit legislative concepts to the Department of Administrative Services. So all the people that Teresa introduced to you have been busy with that process, looking at legislative concepts that relate to the budget requests that they wish to submit, determining whether or not they're going to come forward or not as a part of the governor's recommended budget. They have very early submission timelines. So if there are concepts that have come up since April, their process has been shut. So they would have to come through another vehicle, and there may be opportunities for you to decide if there's agency concepts you want brought forward that you would have the opportunity to introduce, that their opportunity has passed. Between August and September, they had to submit agency request notebooks to the Department of Administrative Services so that the analysts could begin their analysis of what the agencies wanted to request. And there was no particular limits on what the agencies could request. They were doing it, obviously, before the actions of the fifth special session. So many of the agency requests that came in did not reflect fifth special session actions. So you'll see adjustments to the process that have happened since then. So they had to submit them in September. By the first part of September, as you recall, fifth special session didn't end until about September 18th. So then between September and November, generally, the DAS analysts take that agency request notebook and all the supporting documentation and work with the agencies to do their analysis and to develop preliminary recommendations that they submit to DAS directors, and also prepare for presentation to the governor-elect. And this is a transition year, so their time frames for submission of a budget are a little bit delayed. Normally, the governor has a budget developed and for presentation to our office by December 1. In transition years, he has till February 1. So the DAS analysts prepare their recommendations for the governor-elect this year, and they made those preliminary recommendations available to the agencies. They had a chance to look at those and actually develop appeals that they could appeal certain recommendations that the analysts were bringing forward and present those appeals to DAS and ultimately, once the governor was elected, to the governor and his transition team. So that process happened up until the first week of December. And at that time, some decisions were made by the governor-elect, and the documentation to support the governor-elect's budget was put together and went to print around Christmas. So, as you recall, last Friday, the governor did release this document, and that was made available to us. So we are busy going over that document and getting related backup material related to that, developing an analysis that we will make available to you as soon as we can, as soon as it's finalized. We normally publish it. We'll be working toward doing that. In the meantime, when the subcommittees start meeting, we will provide those analysis at the time the subcommittees before each of you so that you have that background material in advance. Representative Senator Schrader commented about that earlier. We'll do our best to get it to you very timely because we consider it a valuable source to you. It identifies very succinctly what the agency's functions are all about, where the revenues are derived from, things that have happened in the budget environment this last interim, and a detailed analysis of what the governor's budget does and does not do. So once the agency, the governor's budget's released, now agencies are being redirected by DAS to go out and update and finalize their agency request notebooks. Those agency request notebooks will be available to each of the subcommittees at the time the budget is brought before you for your review. They are busy scrambling to meet the time schedule that we've set out for them. We are giving them advance notice of the agencies that are being tentatively scheduled to come in early, and they will be putting those notebooks together, the agencies and DAS, on a first-come, first-served basis to try and make sure that they're here in advance so that we can review them, and also subcommittee members can have them for their deliberations on the agency budgets. As Ken mentioned, this week, based on directions from the co-chairs, we have put together, working on tentative schedules and letting agencies know about the tentative schedules so that they can be getting ready, as well as knowing the presentation guidelines. The agencies are required to follow presentation guidelines in the subcommittee and also follow additional directions that Ken referenced earlier that are going out from the co-chairs. We will, as Kim mentioned, the schedule is aggressive. We will be trying to complete the schedule by middle of April, and we'll make adjustments as we can. If we get you a schedule, just know that that agenda, subcommittee agenda schedule, is tentative. It changes because of delays or other things that come up, and we will do our best to make sure you have the most recent information available to you. But
thank you, Larry. Are there any questions? Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Just a question for Larry. Larry, is there any possibility that we might be able to have an opportunity to get a hold of those budget notebooks and review them with members of our committee without creating a quorum a day or two or even the weekend before that we start the presentations on some of those departments?
Chair and committee members, it would be our hope that those will be available well in advance for most meetings that are coming up. The first ones are probably the most we're most concerned about because agencies were directed to put those notebooks together and run their revised numbers from the governor's rec budget through an audit process. And so the first ones, it'll be really tight. But beyond that, yes, they should be here in time for the subcommittee to have them. They're in each of the subcommittee rooms. They're available when they do arrive for you. There will be a copy for each member designated. You can take it with you. And if you have questions regarding that, our staff as well as DAS staff are available to help you with that. There will be a subcommittee orientation when we do start subcommittees, not next week but the following week. And part of that will probably involve showing in a notebook and letting people get familiar with how it's structured and how to use it.
Just a follow-up, sure. Is the conference room still available, the library conference room still available for time with the chairs to be able to sit down with analysts before those committees?
Mr. Chair, Representative Butler, yes, we have a library conference room. We have a bigger conference room that you can use, so that's always a possibility to do.
Thank you.
And as Larry mentioned, the first budget's up. DAS will be scrambling to get those budget binders prepared, but as time goes on, they will catch up, and you will have them in advance, and they will be available as soon as they come to us.
Great. Thank you.
Other questions? Comments? I would just
advise the members that, just speaking from my own experience on this committee, in fact, yesterday visiting with Mr. Rocco, he started going through a sentence with a bunch of these acronyms, and he discovered early on that he could certainly fool me. I told him he didn't even really need the acronyms. But what I would suggest is that, you know, whenever you have a doubt and maybe you feel like, gosh, I'll embarrass myself if I disclose I don't have this essentially basic understanding of all these terms, maybe I shouldn't ask that question. Go ahead and ask the question, because it probably is useful to all of the other members who are also hesitating. And it's okay if we all get a thorough understanding of what we have to know in order to make a decent decision. But I have no problem admitting that I don't know out of this. So I hope all of you will feel comforted by that.
Representative Butler,
well, I know
Co-chair,
you know it all. But
no, Mr. Co-chair, those acronyms will cost you $2 in my committee. And that goes to the American Cancer Society, and that's
very good.
What you'll end up paying for. But I do want you to know that a couple of years ago, I asked one of the folks at the dais, what on earth does that, and it was a 7 or 8 letter in an acronym, and I said, what on earth does that stand for? And we worked on that probably for 15 minutes and never came up with what it stood for. So many times they don't know.
I read that on your memo marked FYI. So with that, Mr. Co-chair, Vice Chair, anything else to add?
I believe we're done, but subcommittee chairs will want to meet in 177, I believe, after the meeting.
Thank you very much for your presentation. Appreciate the attendance of the members and the audience. And with that, we are adjourned.